Blog Talk Radio.
Learning our players.
Yeah, that is that. You think that's like the most difficult part is first figuring out who's doing what.
Well, yeah, sometimes because there's a lot of like I said, there's a lot of great athletes that are out there playing the game, and they can play a lot of different positions. So you know, the challenge is making sure we put the right person in the right spot on the field to make not only them successful, but us as a team successful as well.
Now, so in terms of like as you're practicing, how often do you guys practice?
We're going at it about 3 days a week right now.
3 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
You think with looking like next month, you think you guys are ready, or you think you guys still got more, you know, lot to do?
You're never 100% ready. I mean, there's always work to be done, but things are coming along. They're progressing pretty well. So I'm real excited about it, and I'm real happy with what I see so far.
So, and you said you've coached softball. How do you see? Do you see like difference in terms of course, it's two different sports, but do
right.
you see a lot of difference in terms of between coaching women in softball or coaching women in tackle football?
Well, yeah, there's a little bit of difference, obviously, because, I mean, it's full contact sport. So, you're looking for people that enjoy hitting other people or getting hit, and obviously that doesn't happen in softball. But there's still, you know,
this
athletes competing. I mean, there's the athletes that are competing, so it's a little bit different. And these are the passion is adult young ladies, where, the other is high school, so. A little bit of difference, little more age, a little more maturity, hopefully.
Oh, so that must be a hoot, huh?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
What's in terms of age? Like, who's what's the age range with your group right now?
I'm guessing it's anywhere from about 18 to I think 46, 47, maybe.
Really, Amanda? Do you got any 18-year-olds?
Yes, we do. I think we actually have a 17-year-old. Her parents come to practice most of the time as well. So if you have parental permission, you can play younger than 18. And I think we have up to 48, 49, actually.
Really?
Really? Up to 40, 49?
Yeah.
Wow, that's...
You wouldn't guess it watching.
That's really cool. Where now, like the... just curious, like the 17, 18-year-olds, where did you get them from? What got them to know that... You know, obviously, unless there have been playing flag or something before, how did they get to play? I mean, how did they get this?
Go ahead.
I think with most of all of the women on the team, they hear from someone that they know or meet around. Sometimes we go out and just approach somebody that we see that we would like to ask to think they might have something to add to the team. I'm not exactly sure how the girls on our team at this point, at that age, found out about it, but that's generally how everyone finds out.
And I'm also curious, so the girls like that age, did you get any that like had played any kind of football with like their brothers or anything like that, or flag or anything? Did they ever play at all?
I think most of the girls have, at some point in their life, played with friends and family. There's a few girls who did play in high school. Some aren't on our team anymore. There's others all around that play flag different times of the year at all ages.
Because it'll be interesting to, you know, as you know, there's no feeder system, unfortunately.
Right.
So I'm always curious about when the young'uns get to join with, you know.
Yeah,
that's
probably the biggest difference with women's football is somebody may have just found out about it today, last week, and never really done anything like it before to be able to learn the kind of the demeanor and the demands of the sport. It takes a bit of time, whereas obviously with the male sport, they kind of get into it at a younger age and start to learn techniques younger. That might be one of the things experience-wise that women have differently.
And how about in terms of the team, and I guess, George, you must have come across this, other than I hate calling them rookies because it's really weird when I use the word rookie. I mean, I know that they don't get it. I mean when I say rookie, it means you just joined the team versus you've ever played before.
Right.
So when I say, when I'm using the word, so I started with the word newbies to
okay.
help. So how many like newbies did you, well, obviously, George, you wouldn't know all the newbies since you haven't coached there before.
Right. I don't know them all. Amanda might be able to
yeah, how many, like about how many
about
did you get?
That's a good question.
Huh?
I'm guessing probably 15 or 20 new girls this year, you think?
I would agree, yes.
Yeah? And what I'm curious about, of those girls that you got, had any of them played tackle football before?
I believe one played previously on another team, but other than that, everybody is new to football and new to the passion.
Right.
Okay. And George, so George, like, what is it like for you when you're actually, it's more than coaching, you're teaching? Because it's not like when you're when you're dealing with the new people that you're
right. Well,
teaching.
I mean, true coaching is teaching also. So no
right.
matter, I mean, they interact with each other, a lot, and you always have to be teaching a little bit and coaching to get the best out of what you've taught. So there's a little bit of that all the time, but you have a lot of these young ladies who are very, very willing to learn, and they want to learn, and they're giving you 100% all the time, trying to learn the game. They've seen the game for years and years. They've always thought, about, oh, maybe it'd be nice if we could play. Well, now they have an opportunity to do that, and I think it's a tremendous opportunity for these young ladies to be able to do something that they really enjoy, and it sends a good message for a lot of other young ladies that, look, you can do whatever you want if you put your mind to it.
That's true.
Thanks.
Yeah. So how about, who are the ones that we should watch for? Any particular players?
As far as the players go?
Yeah.
We have a lot of really good players. I don't like signaling too many of them out here.
No,
but,
I mean kind of like, you don't want to warn us or not warn
no,
us, you know?
No. Well, just be aware. We'll put a good product on the field. It'll be interesting to watch us play. We'll come ready to play.
So Amanda, what is it like now? You know, it's a new season. You don't have so most of the players are vets.
Yes.
Okay. So, and. In terms of the newbies, so how do you see it? I mean, in terms of how do you feel it's going with the with new players coming in?
I think it's going very well. Everybody's really coming together nicely with the newbies, and as well, a lot of our vets are moving around and playing different positions, and we all just really try to work together to put together a strong unit on offense, defense, and special teams. So. I really feel like we're all kind of coming together. Each practice is better than the last.
Okay. So Amanda, because I'm, as I said, I'm not the biggest, not the greatest on football, on the football. I just know like what the quarterback does and maybe the center and I definitely know the wide receiver because that's the person closest to the sideline. So I have, what everybody does, but you do, right, Amanda?
Yes, I do, for the most part.
I'm certainly glad. How is it, coming so far as far as with the practicing, and how do you see the season for you?
Well, it's definitely a building year for us, and I see a lot of positive things. We have a really strong core of coaches that communicate and get along well, and we have a lot of leaders that have been around for years, even since the team first started. They really get out and set the tone for our practices. And all we can really do is go into each practice with a game plan or practice plan and prepare as best as we can. Right now we're getting ready for a scrimmage and getting ready for our first game and just keep learning as we go, getting better as we go.
Now, I hate to ask, but what exactly is a scrimmage versus a game?
Go ahead, you got it.
Okay, all right. A scrimmage is where it's more controlled. You get out there and you might run 10 offensive plays against the other team, and then the other team will run 10 offensive plays against you. It's more of a controlled environment where you can coach a little bit. You don't run a clock typically. You just work on. Everybody gets to work on different aspects of the game, without it being necessarily under the pressure of running a clock and only so much time to score and all that type of thing. It's more of a control thing where both teams get to practice against somebody else, another team, and kind of test your ability and see what you can do. And it gets an opportunity to play a lot of different players, so you can see what everybody can do against another team.
Well, when are you going to be doing the scrimmage?
That would be the 19th, I believe.
Against?
The New York, I think it's the Sharks.
Yeah.
And you're not concerned, I'm just curious, so you're not concerned, like when you do a scrimmage, like do people, anybody tend to get hurt during that, or is it?
It's not usually as intense with the scrimmage as it is with a real game, and typically nobody's out there to hurt anybody. You're out there just to get an idea of what you have, what you can do. So both teams will be in that pretty much in that kind of a respectful, it'll be physical, but it'll be respectful kind of a thing where, you're just basically seeing what you have, how well your offense is going to perform, your defense and your special things, and get a good idea, get a feel for, where everybody's at and if you have the right players in the right spot and that type of thing. So typically, there's always that risk. Anytime you go full contact, there's always a risk of that, but typically it's not, you don't get too many people hurt in the scrimmage usually.
And you don't think the coaches will now know what to expect or something when you actually play?
Right, it gives us a little bit of an idea of what we can do, and it might also give a chance for somebody that might not be on the first team to play, and all of a sudden they're when it comes game time they pick their game up a little bit and. She can help us in a particular place. So it gives it's good for a lot of different things. And you play a lot of different people. You don't always have your first team in there.
Okay.
So everybody gets a chance to play, and you get to see a little bit what everybody can do against another team. Rather than going against ourselves all the time.
Yeah. So Amanda, how long have you been with the Pittsburgh Passion?
This is my fourth season.
And is the fourth season as a quarterback?
No, this is my first as a quarterback.
Oh, that's cool. What were you doing? What was your position before?
Played a little at receiver and tailback.
Wow. So, that's interesting. So, did they just turn to you? Is it George? Did you turn to her and say, Amanda, I'd like you as a quarterback, or we need a oh my God, we lost the quarterback and we need another one.
No, when we started practice, there was a couple of young ladies that expressed some interest at being the quarterback, and we worked with all of them, and we obviously picked the person that we thought was the best to take the team and lead the team at that position. So it was a little bit of a tryout for everybody, and Amanda is on top.
And Amanda, is this was this your, I kind of want to say, your dream? Is this the position, you've always wanted to actually play? Or is this the coach says I need to be the quarterback, so that's what I'm going to do?
Well, I'm sure every person has that dream of being the quarterback out on the field. Personally, I really enjoy filling whatever position the team needs me to, which is why I've had experience at multiple positions. And I'm really just ready to embrace the role that the team needs me to be in, and taking every practice and learning what I can to be able to help the team out the best I can.
And also wanted to ask, your team is now with the you guys used to be with a different league, and now that you changed leagues to the Women's Football Alliance, do you have any feeling about? Do you think it's going to make a difference?
I don't know about making a difference so much. I mean, they're all going to be teams that are going to try to win. So I think it's going to be a pretty competitive league overall. There's a lot of teams. I believe there's over 60 teams in this league now, and there should be some really good competition. We'll be playing some different teams, than what we used to, but I'm pretty sure that all of them are going to come to play, and every game is going to be a tough one.
Well, Amanda, do you think, or you don't really get into it, do you think that being in a different league will make a difference to anything like how you're getting how we're getting the word out there, or I don't know, or anything?
Yeah, I feel like the unification or all the teams kind of moving towards being in one league and getting women's football kind of to have that strong program that all around the country people can hear about versus having multiple leagues and somebody says, well, what about this team and that team, and it's not exactly all one unit. I think that's a positive to put the word out and really spread the word out for all teams across the country.
So do you think that maybe this might be the league that will make a difference in terms of, I have to tell, I mean, I, the reason I'm asking is, I mean, I do a lot of traveling, and even I could be in Pittsburgh talking to the CVB and tourism, and I'll say, oh, by the way, did you know you have a women's football team here? And they'll say, no, I didn't know. They'll even say, no, I didn't even know women are playing football. I mean, it's like, wow, my God. I mean, what do we need to do,
Yeah. There's definitely still those out there that haven't heard about it yet. Luckily, in Pittsburgh, we have quite a few that do and great fans. So I think the idea is to get everyone, all the teams that we can, into one league. So any kind of media that we might do, for instance, this radio broadcast right now, that everybody somebody might randomly hear it and say, oh, what's going on with this, and want to know if they have a team in their city, and then they find out they do. So everybody being unified, I think, is a very positive thing, and will continue to move the sport itself forward in the future.
Well, with the IWFL, I don't think there was 60 teams. Isn't that a lot of teams in one league?
I suppose it's a lot of teams to have in the country, and that's a positive thing, that we have a lot of women that want to play.
Well, in terms of the competition and, playing, vying for the championship, do you see it like there's a lot more competition? Meaning, of course, you don't have to play all the teams. You don't have to play your division, thank goodness.
Yeah, that would be an awful tough season playing 63 games.
Oh, my games. God. Listen, it's going to be...
That'd be a little rough for anybody.
Yeah. Well, it's tough enough trying to get all the 60 teams to talk on my radio show. Not at once, though, but... And I understand, you have a documentary on your team that you can buy from Amazon.com?
Yes, we do.
And what exactly is it, by the way?
That was Jennifer Yee went around with the team. I believe that was our championship season or the year before, 2000, 2007, 2008. Just kind of behind the scenes, getting a look at the sport itself and trying to get the word out on what women's football is all about.
Yeah, I think because you guys have gone to, I mean, you do like a Comcast.
Yes, we have been on Comcast. We've been on Armstrong Cable in Pittsburgh and Comcast On Demand. It's quite an opportunity for us to be able to be on television.
Okay. Well, that's great. Is there anything you guys want to throw in?
I would just say that any time that somebody can come out and take a look at what's going on and see these women play the game, I think they'll be very impressed, and I think they'll be very excited and see a pretty good product on the field. I think it'd be very exciting for them. So I recommend it anybody that can come and see a game.
All right. Yes. Well, and I got to say, this will be an interesting season for the both of you with a new coach and a new quarterback.
Absolutely. It'll be exciting.
Cool? New coach, new quarterback, new league.
Yeah, a lot of excitement. It's looking great.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling in, and best of luck to you guys.
Thank you.
Does anybody – nobody wins a scrimmage, right?
No.
No, okay. I just wanted to know. Okay. All right, have a great evening, and thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, well, we're going to take a bit of a break. We got with a commercial.
Listen up. I'm Coach Vince Lombardi. The three most important things in my life are God, family, and the Green Bay Packers. You should meet my better half, Marie. She's no pushover. How else could she stay married to me for the last 20 years? The press is hard on me, but they sing a different song when we win on Sundays. They all know winning isn't everything. It's the only thing.
Lombardi on Broadway, starring Dan Lauria and Judith Light. Presented with the NFL. Tickets at telecharge.com.
Okay, let's take a little break before our next callers, which will be the New York Sharks. Ready soon for having the Sharks come in. I just want to remind the our two guests from the Sharks that they have to press 1 to talk. So, okay, just let's hit that little break again now until they call. at least we got our quarterback from the Sharks calling in. We're hoping that that Darnell Stapleton will make his way by calling in as well. Got Karen Mulligan, who is the quarterback of the New York Sharks. Karen, how are you?
How you doing, Merle? I'm good, thanks.
So, it's going to be an interesting season, huh?
So far, yeah.
Yeah, it's if I was just talking like with the Pittsburgh Passion, and looks like they have a new coach this year. That's interesting. They have a new coach, and they have a new quarterback. So that really makes a difference. Like, you know, like when you were, you know, like the first time you quarterbacked. What was that like for you, by the way?
It was a lot different from what I had been doing before. Going in there, it was just learning. I didn't realize how stressful it was going to be. but it was something that, I took on. I decided that I would try it. It was a slow learning process at first, all footwork. I could not throw a spiral when I first started. That took a little bit. It was fun. It was a lot different than anything I had done before. So I got to learn to enjoy it.
So how many years have you been quarterbacking for the Sharks? How many years has it been now?
Five, I think. Yeah, I finished five seasons.
Oh, that's cool. So is this going to be season number six with you?
This would be, yep.
All right. And how many you got newbies? I got a call them. I was talking before. I can't – when I say rookies, people think that because they've played before, they don't want to be called rookies. But when I'm using the term rookies, I mean, you know, it's new for being on the
right.
Sharks.
Right.
So how many newbies?
No, I don't know the exact number, but there's quite a few. There was a pretty good turnout for each one of the tryouts that the team had the past, I don't even know, probably since September. There's at least 10 of them, 12, 13 that are definitely here staying. I know one of them, we just had a rookie actually get hurt, tore her Achilles, so she'll be out for the season. I'm not exactly sure the exact number. I'm still getting used to, seeing new faces, and I don't have everybody's names down yet, so it'll take a while.
Yeah, new faces and some old faces, so.
Yep.
I understand.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, in terms of, because we were discussing before about age, what did we get as, like, the youngest this season?
I know that we have a 22-year-old. I know everyone is legal. Everyone is 21 or older.
I was just going to say, like, you don't have to worry about who has to get carded at a bar, huh? You don't have to deal with that. Okay.
Pretty much.
That's a good thing. So at this point, like, are you concentrating mostly on getting the newbies set up, or figuring out like who's going to play what? What's it like right now at this point?
Yeah, well, both of those things are going on. Trying to get people, coaches are trying to get people in positions where they can, you know, benefit the team. Definitely going over terminology for some of the girls who haven't played yet, getting them, you know, familiar and comfortable with the skills that they have to do and getting them into positions. Right now, my main focus is getting down a new offense. We have, we pretty much every couple of years we've changed coaches. So that's been one of the challenges that I've had to face. You know, once you start learning the offense, you get comfortable with it, you know, then you start doing more with it, and then by the time that happens, then all of a sudden, you know, the next season comes and you're learning something totally new. So for myself, I'm trying to get down, you know, the things that I have to get done, you know, plays, new patterns, things like that.
When you're quarterbacking, do you have a say in the plays at all, or is it you just take whatever the coach says, that's what you do, or how does that work?
It depends. Pretty much if there's something that, not only if I see something, but if the offensive line sees something, coaches usually have no problem with, you know, prior to Coach Stapleton, coaches have asked us too, hey, what do you guys see? What do you think? You know, so we've been able to try things that we've come up with based on what we see on the field. In practice, so far, there's a few things that I've done that I've said to Coach, hey, based on what things that defense was running, you know, can we do this instead? Or, what, you know, do we have something that's going to be put in with these types of routes? Or just a different, you know, a different handoff. So we've been able to put those things in. I don't know. There's not too much that you can say, and, you know, coaches have their reasons for calling things. They have, you know, eyes up in the box or in the stands or whatever, so they run things based on defense, based on tendencies of the other team that you're playing. So, you know, you can mention stuff to them, but, you know, it's mostly their call.
No, like when you're, okay, so now you're about to throw a pass. Do you already, other than that you know that the wide receivers are going to be there, correct? I don't know, I'm just saying, right? The wide receivers are the ones you're looking for to throw the passes at?
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Wide receivers, slot receivers.
Anyway.
And then sometimes even the running back will go out into the flats or
things
like that.
So when you're about to pass the ball, has the coach like kind of saying like telling you like who to pass it to? I mean, is that part of the play, the thought of who you're going to pass it to, or you're just like hoping that you know you'll find somebody to throw it to?
it's funny. Basically, most of the time, it's not like you hope somebody's open. Based on what defense is running, coaches call patterns for certain reasons. A few different ways from different coaches I've learned, and I'm sure other quarterbacks said the same thing. It's either based off the defense, what they do, either you can look at it as the corner, the outside linebacker, or the safety. Based on what they do and the routes that we're running, somebody's going to be left open, hopefully, or the chances that they'll be left open are more likely. There's also passing where you're looking at a triangle. There's one person, let's say some people go by the furthest receiver. You look at their route first, and it's a check down system. You check from the widest receiver back to the person who's running the inside route to the person who's running into the flats, just based on what the coaches want you to look at first. So it's not, you know, you're not guessing. It's mostly based on what defense gives you.
Oh, but that's good to know. Well, I'll learn a little more each time when I see a game as to what people actually do and why. So now that you got that you have a new coach,
yeah.
How much? I mean, do you think that having somebody who's coming from the NFL, make it different, or you don't know yet until the whole group?
Well, I like our coaches. You know, I get along with them real well, our head coach and our defensive coordinator. And there's a few other coaches that are there. You know, they're really knowledgeable in what they're telling us. They've gone through, I mean, Coach Stapleton played mine, so he's really good with skills with the offensive line, what we're looking for, why we do certain things. As all coaches have their specific things that they're really good at. You know, these coaches have brought, you know, other things to our team that, you know, hopefully are going to make us successful. So, you know, I would hope, I mean, we're going to continue on, you know, learning everything we have to learn. And I guess what's going to assess where we are right now, we have a scrimmage in 2 weeks against, you were just talking in Pittsburgh.
Right.
We have a scrimmage in 2 weeks, so we're going to play against them. And that'll kind of gauge where we are, you know, what coaches need to do to get us ready for our first game, things that we need to fix, you know, improve on, and, you know, what things, you know, look good at that point. So, you know, based on that, I mean, the coaches are going to have to make some adjustments, you know, to prepare us, you know, for the first game and, you know, and so on. And I think their, you know, their experience helps.
Now, when you have just, again, you know, real stupid is going to ask. So you have, what does the head coach decide on versus the other coaches? I mean, what's the word that he gets or she gets? But what is the word that the head coach do versus what the other coaches decide on?
Well, everybody basically goes through him for what's going to happen. I mean, you know, he's our head coach is mainly working with offense. We have a defense coordinator that handles defense, but pretty much everything goes through him. The other coaches check with him, you know, to make sure that and they've all talked prior to, you know, this season practices and what they're doing. And Coach Stapleton has final say in, you know, whatever's being run. You know, if he doesn't like something, then, you know, it's going to have to – he's the one that says it has to change.
So, is this season, like – I'm curious, like, how many coaches when a team is being coached, like, you're looking for more of than just a head coach, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it takes a lot of coaches to be able to run – a football team, you know, successfully, to be able to give attention to the different positions, you know, that are out there on the field. It depends on how many people want to volunteer or how much money a team has to be able to pay for coaches, you know, to be a part of your program. I don't know. I think we've had, I think, as little as, I want to say, at one point, I know it ended up with, during the East Coast Championship, it ended up with two coaches years ago. And another season, we ended up having three, maybe four. And then we've had six, you know, at one point. You know, that's just us. I know other teams have more or less. So I guess that, you know, it depends on who's willing to either volunteer their time or what you have to pay. That's what, I guess, dictates how many coaches you end up having.
Well, what are you looking forward to this season?
I don't know yet.
you can't.
You know what? I'm looking forward to, I really want to get into the season with these coaches. We just started not too long ago, so I'm just curious how well our team is gonna, as every year you go in, you know, how well our team is gonna gel together, you know, how we're gonna be with our coaches and the relationship that we have with them, you know, to see not only them in games and decisions that they make and how they carry themselves and but also the girls too. Just seeing people improve and do well. I don't think there's any specific thing that I'm looking forward to or waiting for.
Now, do you see any advantages of having the previous players returning?
As far as the girls who have played for us before coming back?
Yeah.
I don't know that there's any specific advantage, but there's an advantage of having players come back that, have played for us before, but not only that, but have played football before. The knowledge that the two of them have, and actually three, and the experience that they have, it's not like it's an advantage, but it's a really good thing to have. It's the more experience you have on a team, not that you're necessarily going to win, but, it's definitely, beneficial for your team rather than having, a ton of rookies. You need people to be able to guide the rookies and also help, the coaches teach them. Be able to talk to them, tell them, what things to do, what not to do, and stuff like that. So, I think it's beneficial.
Although, when the players, come back, it depends on, how long they've been away, because when they come back after a certain amount of years, the vets are no longer there. The people they've played with may not be there anymore.
Right. Well, some girls, some girls have retired. I mean, there's, as with every team, every year there's, there's players leaving, new players coming in, and, you just hope that whoever, has stayed, has all that, the knowledge and the experience to be able to help, make your team successful and do well.
Now, what's your background? Have you played football before you, any kind of football before you played for the New York Sharks?
Nothing besides, two-hand touch in the park or the playground with my younger brother and other friends. Nothing organized. I don't even remember. I didn't even play flag football before playing tackle. Actually, threw tackles. Then I think after my first season of playing tackle football is when I started to play flag football. So, no, nothing before this.
Has this been your idea of the sport that you say, well, I finally got the sport I really want?
I've always liked football. I played basketball in college. That was my first love. I could probably say that before playing football, I didn't know how much I would become attached to it and how much I would love it. How much of a part of my life that it would become before I started playing. It's been great. I traveled with basketball and college and stuff, but, I do the same thing now with football. And this is, my college career was done. I was kind of looking around for something, to do. And, I don't know, it's kind of fortunate that I found out about this. And, it's what I've been playing ever since, and I'm guessing that I will be playing until my body can't do it anymore.
Your body can't do it. How old is the oldest player on the team?
I don't want to shout her name out, but I think she...
You don't have to shout her name out. It's okay.
I think she's 51.
Okay.
She's 51 now. I think.
Yeah.
That's how they is.
Well, anybody listening, there's no such thing. Most males, stop it in their 30s. when you're playing.
Well, we also haven't been playing that long.
That's
you know, think about it. We've been playing tackle since 99, 2000. So, you know, it's been 10 years and, you know, guys mostly have been playing since they, with a select, you know, girls now that are starting out playing and, you know, got Warner football and stuff and joining their high school teams and things like that. But before that, you know, we're not in it, you know, through junior high, high school, college. Most of us are, I think the majority of the women are starting out, you know, after college, after they've done, you know, if they were an athlete in college, after that's been done, then they're starting out playing football. So I don't think that we've had the wear and tear that men have had.
Well, I understand also that in New York, there's something for kids, for I guess teenagers, are from 13 to 17. What's that that they're having? That they're going to do?
The football camp?
Yeah, the football camp for kids. Well, they're not kids, really. I mean, I guess you say teenagers because they're from 13 to 17.
Yeah, I believe it's 12 or 13 through 17, and they'll even take 18-year-olds that are in high school.
Mm-hmm.
It's a girls' football camp that we are the Sharks are running through or with Adam Coates from the New York Giants. He's running that camp, and the girls from the Sharks are coaches in this camp. And I believe they just set the date for it. And I don't want to be wrong in the date, so I'm not going to say when, but I know it's probably on the website.
Right. I think it might be May 4th, I believe. Well, you'll see on the New York Sharks website. We can check it out.
They just sent out information on it.
Oh, May 4th. I'm sorry, it's May 14th, not May 4th. Okay. This is why I have Barbara Coletti to give me information while we're talking. Yeah, good old Barb Coletti does. She's one that's actually running this the show. I'm just calling it. Because she ain't going to talk. I'm doing all the talking.
Well, I had a chance to talk to her last year real quick before I was on. There was a show last year that I was on for about like 10, 15 minutes.
Well, one other thing, would you agree that in terms of the camp, the kids' camp, I mean, that like if more would happen regarding the knowing that there's women tackle football going out there, if, let's say, at least the major cities can do it, or even if it's not a major city, just as many. I mean, if all 60 teams set it up, like, for next year to have one, you know, that would be great. I mean, it would not only, you know, get a feeder system somewhat, but also you know, and get it known that there's an opportunity for young girls to learn how to play. Are you going to be participating at this?
I haven't decided, actually. I have in the past when we used to run the NFL let the Sharks run a JPD camp, which JPD was normally run for high school, junior high boys, and they let us run one. It was a couple years ago. They had it in the Giants bubble. We were able for a couple of years to run that camp. It was a weekend camp, and it was a really good experience. They had girls come from all over the city and the five boroughs to participate. You know, they left with the same gear that the JPD boys had left it with. They didn't make it tackle at that point with the equipment. They had, but the girls did get, they got jerseys, bags, other, you know, they each left with a football, but they were taught skills, for those 2 days played in games, and the Sharks were all coaches for that camp.
Yeah.
And
by the way, when's the first game this season?
April 2nd.
Who are you going against?
Early. Philadelphia.
Go
to Philadelphia, yep.
Oh, that's interesting. I think we got the Philadelphia Bells that are going to call in at 10 o'clock on my time here. So hopefully their coach will call. I don't know what happened with Darnell. I don't know. I'll find
out. I'm sure he's busy. he's planning practice for Tuesday.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Molly, for calling in and you know, chatting and chatting with us and giving information, giving me and more information. So like I said,
I hope you can pick up a few things.
Yeah.
And by the time you're done with all these phone calls, you can pick up a few new terms.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, have a great evening and talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Farrell. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, now it's taking a break, and it's time for a commercial break. Yeah, it is. Time for a commercial. We're not getting that commercial. It's not playing. Okay, well, I guess... I don't know why. So I guess let's just go into
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
Yes, and you can get these brownies at www.brownies.com. Unfortunately, you can't get them at your favorite supermarket unless you're out in Phoenix. But you can get them online, and believe me, they are the best brownies. So I'll get back to you in a few. We got Michigan Mayhem calling in. So hang on there. Coach Scott Floyd and quarterback Nicole Bayer. I hope I got the names right. Are you guys on?
Hey, Merle. Thanks for having us.
Do I got the names pronounced correctly? Well, I mean, like, Scott Floyd is easy, but is it Bayer or Bayer?
It's Bayer.
Oh, Bayer. Okay. So, Scott, okay, let's first go into how long have you been coaching for the Michigan Mayhem?
This would be my first season with the Mayhem. It'll be my second go-around with the Southwest Michigan football team. I coached the Jaguars from 03 through 05. And then I went down to Fort Wayne and coached the Fort Wayne Flash women's team for 4 years. I'm back up in Michigan.
Oh, okay. So it's getting to know your new a whole new team then, isn't it?
Correct. Yes, there's a lot of new faces.
So what is it? Tell me what it's like for you to get on an entire new team. Is it you feel like it's a challenge or you know just new faces and just another team?
No, this isn't just another team, Merrill. This is a team that's had a lot of success since I've been gone. I recognize that, recognize what the players and coaches have done before me, and they set the bar pretty high. So, I don't know, it's not a situation most coaches would take. There's not much room to go up and obviously a lot of room to go down. So, but I like the challenge, and more importantly, I think the players that I have for me, the returning veterans and the new girls, like that challenge too. So we're excited about the season. We're excited to exceed what this team's done in the past.
So are you saying that you have met some of these players before? Is that what you...
There's a handful that I actually coached before when I was up here. And, of course, coaching the Fort Wayne team, I had the chance to coach against a lot of these girls. So I am I'm familiar with what they're capable of doing. So, yeah, I'm excited.
And, by the way, what part of Michigan are you in that you play in? Where in Michigan?
Is this a question for my quarterback?
Oh, either of you. Where are you playing?
Oh, we play in the Kalamazoo area.
Kalamazoo.
Which is Southwest Michigan, yes.
Southwest Michigan, okay. Maybe in my travels I don't know if I've made it to Michigan. I got to look on my list of all the states I've traveled to.
We're on Interstate 94 right between Chicago and Detroit.
Oh, okay.
How's that?
Oh, that's fun. What's the weather? Oh, what's the weather there, by the way, right now?
Oh, sunny, about 85 degrees.
You're lying, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Not when I'm New York and it's pouring rain and cold. You know, I mean.
Yeah, we're still shoveling our rain, Meryl.
Let me ask you a question. In terms of coaching, when you're dealing with the weather, what is it like? Have you ever had to coach like where there's snow, even in practice?
Yeah, it's pretty rare. The games are even more rare. But ironically, the only blizzard I've ever been involved with was as a coach. I was coaching the Fort Wayne team, and we were hosting our home opener against the West Michigan Mayhem, and it just poured on us in snow. We couldn't see the field. You couldn't get traction. It was really crazy. So, yeah, these are some of the things we have to deal with up here in the north in this league. Obviously, we'd like to be outside working with more room, and I'm sure Nicole would because I'm kind of restricting what she can throw, and I'm sure she wants to get outside where she can air it out. I'll let her talk more about that, but I know she's probably getting a little frustrated about being indoors.
What about in terms of like when you're playing, in terms of the turf, does the turf make a difference? What kind of turf?
Yeah, we're pretty fortunate to have some nice facilities. So up here, most of the teams, us included, play on the fields that have that new next turf. So it holds up pretty well. Obviously, snow and ice, if you have to play on it, isn't good no matter what's underneath it.
Yeah.
But that's pretty rare. You know, this time of year, we're more like you. It's chilly and get a lot of rain, but those next turf fields hold up real well.
Now, as being the head coach, like how many other coaches are you dealing with this coming season?
On my staff, there's just three of us, or three more other than me, so four coaches total. It's a small staff. I'd like to have more, but the guys are good. We get along well, and as long as we know what we're doing and we're structured, we're able to get some good work done with the ladies.
Now, and in terms of now, you have to, like, as you're dealing with the preseason, you're going through, like, picking people out, picking out the players that you want, or getting a sense of you know, what they can do. What is that like?
Well, it's a little different than men. I mean, we don't have a feeder system. We don't have girls coming to us that have played college football or high school football. So first you have to find out what the girls' skill sets are, and then you have to put them in an appropriate position for those skill sets to allow them to succeed at the same time, help our team out. And then there's things you can't measure, you can't test, like their heart, their aggressiveness, how quickly they learn things. So it's not an exact science. It's something you really have to play around with. And then learning this team with the returning veterans, there's girls I'm finding that haven't played certain positions, and I'm putting them in new positions. So that they're able to help us maybe in ways they hadn't thought of before, or maybe the ways they wanted to and they haven't had that opportunity. So like I said, it's not an exact science, Merrill. We just kind of keep playing around with it till we get it right.
Yeah, I guess so. But by the way, Nicole, what do you, like, in terms of the kind of turf you're playing on, oh, what kind of turf gets your ball off faster, you know, to your receiver? Does it see better speed on either turf or?
At this point, most of the fields are turf, and I've gotten pretty comfortable with that. There are a few fields that the turf seems to be a little bit shorter, and it is harder to get grip and use the blood on. But for the most part, most of the fields are turf, and the facilities are real nice, so it's pretty consistent in terms of that. But again, you touched on it earlier, the weather is a big factor. So if it's raining or snowing, whether or not it's turf, it doesn't really matter because the ball's going to be slick and people are going to be flying all over the place regardless of what the field surface is.
Yeah. And Nicole, how long have you been quarterbacking for the
This will be my second year at quarterback for the Mayhem.
Were you playing football prior to that, or were you a different position prior to that?
I actually grew up playing football, so I've played for probably 16 years now. But this is only my second year playing in the WFA.
Oh, okay. How does it feel to actually be women's tackle football for real?
It was amazing for me because I grew up playing with boys all the time, and I actually grew up watching the Minnesota Vixen. We heard a lot about them growing up, and I always strived to play on one of those teams. So to be able to play now, it's unreal, and to see the changes in how women's football has progressed to what it is now, it's really amazing.
And by the way, is the quarterback the position like you've always wanted to play?
Yes, that's what I've always played my whole entire life.
So you said that prior to that you would play with boys and, you know, like that kind of thing?
I grew up in California, and I played in Pop Warner out there for 14 years.
Oh, okay. So how is it for you that you're playing, you get to, you know, quarterback and it's all women?
It's a lot different. The speed of the game is a lot different. To be honest, I didn't know there was this many athletic women out there. I was the only girl growing up playing in Pop Warner, so to be able to see this many women being this athletic, it's really amazing.
Cool. And so let me ask you, in terms of, how many, newbies came in this season that you got? And when I say newbies, as opposed to, in other words, not just rookies, not just the ones, have never played football, but just new people this season. Either of you can name.
We do have a lot of new people this year, and it's really exciting for us to be able to see this many newer people coming out. So we're starting to draw interest in younger people coming out from the college and stuff in the area. Definitely this year we have a lot more new people.
And in terms of age, youngest and oldest, I'm just curious.
Coach, you know this one? I don't even know.
Oh, sure. Put my neck out there in a chopping block. We're probably... the youngest is probably 20, 21, and we've got one over 50. But the majority of our athletes, probably like most teams, are 28 to 33. I would say most of our athletes fall in that age range.
Wow, you got one over 50. That's cool. I mean,
she's probably in the best shape of most of the team.
You know, it's not unusual to have women playing over the age of 40. It really is at this point. But that's really interesting. Now, I'm curious, like, how long is she actually, would you know, like, how long she's actually been playing women's tackle football?
5 years.
Wow. So she started late, huh? She probably turned around and said, I'm going to do it. That's it.
I think it was, she was a single mom raising 4 daughters and running a farm. And,
wow.
And also the head of the Fort Wayne Area Adult Education Program. And I think that, you know, she had maybe a few minutes of free time in her day as the daughters started leaving the nest. And she's just one of those overachievers that we find so often in the sport that wanted a new challenge and decided it was going to be women's football. And we're glad to have her.
Wow. And who is this? I want to get it out there to, you know, get the newspapers to cover this.
Oh, they've already been on her, but her name's Jill Gemmer. And again, she's just, you know, we have so many of these overachieving women in this sport, and she's just one of them. But she's just, you know, been a fantastic addition to the team and brings a great attitude, and, you know, just we're glad to have her.
And Nicole, how was the last season for you?
It was pretty good. It was definitely a learning experience for me. It was a big change going from playing with boys to the women. Just starting the speed of the game and athletic ability of the girls and stuff like that, it was definitely a learning season for me. But now I feel up to speed, so, you know, this season has definitely started out a lot faster for me.
I understand, like, you threw for 912 yards last year.
Yes, I did.
And it's not that I looked it up. I mean, it wasn't, you know, Barbara Coletta is giving me some information. Thank goodness. So you had a pretty good season. She threw 900, yeah, mayhem. Number one is offensive yards total 3,601. If you think I know what that all means, I don't know. I don't know how to play. I mean, I sort of know how to play. I can watch the game. I can watch a game and know how to play, but, like, you know, I'm giving the statistics and I'm going, I don't know what that means.
It means the new head coach can't do any better. That's what it means. If they finished number one last year, I can't improve on that.
Oh, okay. Also, when you say, did you win the championship?
No, we
last
didn't.
Year,
we
the, yeah, the Mayhem won their division and then got beat in the playoffs.
Oh, okay. But then you just do it again. Just, you know, vie again. But Nicole, does it, you know, by having done this last season, do the newspapers or the media, like, do anything about it? I mean, do you get in there?
There's usually a few articles towards the beginning of the season, and there's stuff throughout the season. The Mayhem are pretty well known around this area, so there are some newspaper clippings and stuff out there, so they do cover us pretty well over here.
Oh, that's good. I would imagine, well, not to say I would imagine, but I think that when you're in a city, like when you're in, like, New York or Pittsburgh and Boston, it's a little more difficult because while you're playing that season, you have baseball going on. And the media tends to say, well, I'll go do the baseball instead of football. But I don't know. You don't have a baseball team there, do you?
Not in Kalamazoo.
We do. No.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I thought. At least I never heard of one. So sometimes it's a little easier to get it out there, at least to at least the local area, if not, you know, beyond the local area. Yeah, because that's been the rough thing. People going, you're kidding, and I didn't even know when we were playing football. Okay, but so now
can I say something to that?
Sure.
Meryl?
Yeah.
Because it's one thing we do pride ourselves on, and when I say us, the West Michigan Mayhem, we're one of the smallest markets in the league. You're absolutely right. We do not have to compete against, like, the Lions, you know, the Detroit Lions or the Detroit Tigers or the Chicago Bears or Chicago Cubs, those two big cities on either side of us, for market. But at the same time, we don't have other things provided to us that big cities do. I mean, opportunities for bigger sponsors, more coaches, more players. You know, we're a very small area, about 150,000 people. So for us to be able to put a team together, the caliber that the Mayhem have been for the last several years, that have been to the championship game twice and played these teams and compete with the DCs and the New Yorks and the Bostons and the Dallases, it's quite an accomplishment for such a small market team to do it. And as far as I know, we're the only one that's been able to consistently do that. So, yeah, it's kind of a mixed blessing being in a small market. You know, there's certainly some things that aren't available to us, but, you know, we take a lot of pride in it, and we're proud of it.
Well, you guys are going to have to learn how to make things available.
That's right.
I'll teach everybody. I'll give you all the inside information and how to get everything.
Well, we'll take all we can get.
So now at this point, so like you, how much do you practice over during the week? How many days?
Right now we're just on the weekends, Saturday and Sunday, but that will, as the season gets a little closer, we'll go to three times a week.
Okay. And when's your first game?
April 2nd. We'll go to Cincinnati.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Scott. Okay. I'm going to be asking some kind of a question of everybody that I, because I want to learn how this game goes. When you go up there and you start putting all those little circles and stuff, you know, you go here, there. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I have to tell you, I was sitting there watching this being done, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm sure the players who have played before know what the he's talking about. But for someone who hasn't played football before, how does it make sense? Let's say, Nicole, the first time that you had a coach doing this, like, did you understand it?
Not at all. I had to see it done at least five times on the field first. The first time I got handed a playbook, I had no idea what all the circles and, you know, X's and stuff on there where I had to see it done out in the field. And then I went back into the playbook after I had seen it run on the field, and it made a lot more sense then.
Oh, okay. And I understand now, when a play is called, I see, for instance, that people are wearing things on their wrists. Is that what
yes.
they do? Do all of the players wear something?
Not all of them do. The quarterbacks usually have one that has a list of all the plays in there for the coach to send in a certain number, and then we'll call the play off of that. And then certain players, if they just want, you know, little cheat sheets kind of, they'll wear those wristbands to, you know, put some notes on there.
So are there some players that, like, supposed to be having it as opposed to players who, you know, doesn't really matter whether they have it or not? Is that the...
I think for the most part, the quarterback is the only player that really needs to have one. Other than that, it just depends on the individual player.
Oh, okay. And do you find it... So basically, what's happening is coach is like saying to you, we're doing... I don't know. I don't know what to say on this. I need to look at somebody's cheat sheet.
Okay, we'll do one. We'll do one for you. If Nicole has her wrist coach handy, we'll do one for you.
Yeah,
you have
I do,
wrist coach
actually.
Handy, Nicole?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so I tell you, Merle, you're my receiver standing next to me on the sideline. I tell you to run in. Tell Nicole we're running play red 16. You'll leave me on the sideline. You'll go out to Nicole, and you'll say red 16. And then Nicole will turn and say.
And then I'll say split right 31, slide 9, 25 lead.
There you go. That's how it works.
Okay. And everybody understands what that means then, right?
Yep. And then everybody in the huddle.
So. Yeah,
yeah,
we hope so.
So, I mean, am I, should I assume that the coach on every, the head coach on each team has their own language or their own whatever?
Yeah. Yeah. There's some things that are similar to every system. Every coach will use some of the same things. Certainly none of it is ever invented by one coach. We kind of steal it from others. And then we put our own system together. And some head coaches maybe call the defense. Some head coaches don't call anything. They have assistants to do that. But there are similarities in everyone's system, and then there are things that are different.
So, in other words, let's say you're playing and you call the play. Will the other team know what you're talking about, or usually no?
Well, we try not to tell them, Merle. You know, that's why we huddle together in a small group.
We try not to let
the other team know.
Yeah, I mean, let's say once you finally call it, like the quarterback now says whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Will the other team know what that means?
Well, they can't hear it.
Oh, okay.
We're not telling them.
Oh,
if she's at the line of scrimmage calling something out.
Yeah.
No,
oh,
then,
okay.
Then what we do in that situation is every player would have a wrist coach or wristband, and maybe our quarterback would just holler out red 16 and everyone would look at it. And, of course, the other team would not know what a red 16 is.
Oh, okay. Again, at some point, maybe I'll, as I said, maybe I'll figure out what all this is about. But up until then, you know, I don't even know what the players do. I mean, you know, like somebody says, tells me their position, you know, it's like, okay, that's nice. I know the quarterback or whatever, you know. But I guess once you're on the team, once you play one season, you know, I assume, right?
Yeah, that's pretty fair. It usually takes a year for them to really get it figured out, yeah.
Now, do you see, like, I know what's happened this year is, like, teams have gone over to the WFA. Is this not the first season, obviously, that you played that you're part of the WFA, am I correct?
We've been in the WFA since it started.
Oh, okay. And so how, I'm just curious, how do you see that, you know, a lot of teams coming into the WFA? How do you see that?
Well, I can't speak for all my players, but as a coach, and that's been in women's football for a while, I'm excited. This is the who's who of women's football now. I mean, Boston, New York, Dallas, Miami, Sacramento, all these teams, Kansas City, Chicago, that they haven't been with St. Louis and D.C. and the Mayhem and, you know, the other teams, Pittsburgh. We're all together now. So whoever wins the WFA in 2011 can say they're the best team in women's football, and no one will be able to say, well, you didn't play the champion in this league or you didn't play the champion in that league, because I think it's generally recognized now that every good team in women's football is now under one umbrella. So we're truly going to get a unified champion, and I think everyone should be excited about that idea.
Is there any, like, team that you would, like, love to play? But, in other words, you may not get to play just because, unless you go out of your division, you know, you don't get to play them, unless you, you know, you're winning and, you know, and you're going out of the division. Is there somebody out of the division or some player, some team that you would love to go up against?
Boy, any of those teams out east that have never played, New York would be one, Miami. And I don't know about Nicole, who she'd like, but you know, I'd like to see.
Nicole,
any
particular team you'd love to go up against?
I mean, those same teams that he just listed, just I mean, for me, just some of those teams that are pulling from the bigger cities and stuff like that, just to see, you know, what the difference there is.
And I guess you could also see, like, the caliber of those players and how it and, you know, how it you're looking at yours, or, you know, or also just even not just the caliber, but and just the players themselves, you know, who meeting other women football players that have played for, you know, years with, let's say, another division is probably would be interesting.
Women's football players are always interesting. Always.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Hey, you don't have to tell me that. That's one thing, yeah. But, well, I appreciate that you're both calling in. Is there anything you'd like to share with us, by the way, before I knock you off?
Yeah. Real quick for me, I would just like to say thanks to WFA for making a three-team division with the West Michigan Mayhem, the St. Louis Slam, and Chicago Force. I think it's the hardest division in the league, and good luck to all three teams. It should be a lot of fun.
Okay. Nicole?
I'm right along with those terms. I'm really excited about the merge that happened this year. And with a lot of comments that we've got a lot of competition coming up here, so I'm really excited about this year and to be able to show off our team and show off our competitiveness to everybody.
Okay. Well, hopefully, I don't know if I'll meet you guys. I don't know how much travel I'll be doing, but if I get to get out there or something happens on the East Coast here, I may get to meet you guys.
That'd be great.
All right. Well, have a great evening, and again, thanks again for calling in.
Thank you.
Thanks, Merle. Thanks for having us.
Okay. Good night.
Bye.
So, okay. Time for a commercial.
Lombardi is open on Broadway, and the critics are cheering. See this play, raves the New York Post. The Star Ledger roars, a fantastic production. I loved Lombardi, shouts Fox 5. Judith Light is stunning, says the Associated Press. The Post calls Dan Lauria triumphant. WOR says it all. Go, you'll have a good time. Lombardi on Broadway, tickets at telecharge.com.
Play the beat. Okie dokie. Yes, the beat. There it is. Okay. Well, Boston. We got Boston Militia on, but it looks as though what's with the coaches? Okay, I don't have Coach Beasley on, but I do have a quarterback, Allison Cahill. Allison, hello.
How you doing?
Okay. Yeah, well, I don't have to ask you about the your weather up there because the weather is just as crappy up there as it is right now here in New York.
It's actually a little warmer today, but definitely windy. I haven't been out in a couple hours, but I'll take it compared to the feet of snow we've got.
Yeah, I'll be making, actually, I'm going to be making my way to Boston next month on one of my press trips just to write about Boston. But, yeah, so, okay, Allison, I have to ask you, because, like, now, I think, I don't know if you heard, I really, like I'm doing the PR, and I really don't know a real lot about football and stuff.
All right.
But I just want to, I first want to add, now, the Team USA winning the gold, were you quarterbacking?
No, I was not on that team. Three of my teammates went, and they had an amazing experience. So
was it one of the players on that team that quarterbacked or no?
No, I think they had a girl from Chicago. I think a couple girls from the West Coast. I'm not actually sure, but
oh, okay. I thought that was it. Okay, so Allison, now, how long have you been playing for the Boston Militia?
This will be my fourth year with the Militia, eighth year overall.
How many years overall?
I'm sorry?
You said 8 years overall, is that what you said?
Yes, yes.
So in other words, well, who were you playing? Were you playing for various teams before, or one team before?
I played for one team 1 year out of college, and that team folded. And then I played with the Mass Mutiny, and then our current owner bought my team at that point in time, the Mutiny, and another team, another Massachusetts team, and put us together to form the Militia.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
Yep. Yep.
And so let me ask you, how about newbies? How many newbies did you get this season?
We have a lot, actually. I'm not sure the exact number, but definitely by far our biggest group we've ever had, which I think is a byproduct of all the success we had last year and management's continued work to get our name out there and get us some more exposure. So I think it definitely drew more interest than we have in the past, and that is definitely a good thing. It's a big group and a talented group, so it's exciting.
I hear you got like a lot of players, right? Because one of the things I don't know if it's been all the time, but with the WFA is that there's no cap on how many players can suit up.
I'm not sure. I know in our previous league it was a 45-person game day roster.
Right.
And I was under the impression that it was the same in this new league, but I could be wrong. I'm not sure.
Oh, so how many players do you have this season?
I think originally we started off with around 70, but I think some people have chosen not to play. And I think we also might have to trim our roster down a little bit, but that's up to the coaches and management. But we've had great turnouts at practice and a lot of depth, so we are looking forward to that.
So now prior to quarterback, is this like the position you've always wanted to play, or how did you get into becoming quarterback?
I guess my very first tryout, there was a form, and it said list the positions you'd want to play. And I think I listed maybe wide receiver, running back, defensive back, quarterback. You know, just based on my size and skill set, it was kind of limited to those positions. And then, you know, typically at tryouts, they'd be like, okay, if anyone thinks they can throw the ball, you know, step right up. So I think I did. And, you know, just to just give myself a chance to make the team anywhere I could. And kind of got locked in there and have played ever since and not really anywhere else on the field. So, yeah, like I said, I'm not a very big person. So it's not like I'd be playing linebacker or something. So I'm happy at quarterback, and, you know, it's a tough spot to learn. So to have the continuity of playing the same position for 8 years has helped.
Now, do you see that being in the WFA? Because you're one of the other teams that went into the WFA. Do you see that as being more of a challenge or something that's better for you? Or, you know, how do you see it?
Yeah, I think it was definitely the right move for us. When we saw, you know, shortly after the end of last year that, you know, the top teams from our old league were leaving, like Dallas, Kansas City, New York, Pittsburgh, D.C., it seemed like kind of a no-brainer because, you know, you want to play against the best teams. And as far as, you know, the new teams that we'll be facing this year, that's an interesting new challenge, too. You know, they have some great teams, you know, the Mustangs from last year. So I think it's definitely a promising thing to have all the talent, hopefully, you know, consolidated for the most part in one place. So I think it's a great thing. I think it's great. I'm looking forward to it.
Have you, in terms of, in terms of age, what's the youngest, what's the oldest?
It's funny you should ask. We actually, for the first time, at least since I've been playing, we have a high schooler. She's a senior and she's 18. Her nickname, appropriately, is High School. And and then we go up to, I believe, 40, but I'm not going to name any names on that one.
No, you don't have to.
So 18 to 40.
Oh, 40, so you got a young.
Is that right? Oh, that's good.
Well, it's fun. No, I'm listening. I got one, on one team they're saying that the oldest is 51, and one team,
no way.
The oldest, wait a minute, I forgot how to, it's even older than 51. I think, yeah, older than even 51.
Wow.
Which is great. I mean, you know, if you're in the shape to play and you could still do it, then by all means, go for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Good for them. Wow.
Now, since I don't know, I mean, is as far as Coach Beasley, as to, I don't know why he didn't call in, but anyway, has he been around? Is this the first season, or what's the story with him?
This must be, let's see, I think this will be his fifth year because he became our coach along with our current offensive coordinator, Coach Perryman, the last year before we consolidated. So my last year of the Mutiny, he was our coach as well. And now this is our fourth year with the Militia. So, yeah, he's been around, and that's such a huge help because prior to this, you know, the Militia, I think we had, like, three coaches in 3 years, so a lot of turnover. Which makes sense because, you know, like all of us players, the coaches have full-time jobs and families and everything too. So his dedication and commitment is just awesome. It's like, it seems like every year, you know, we try to take it a step further. I mean, he watches so much film and, you know, his wife is great too. She's around a lot, which I think helps. And it's just really nice to have that continuity and for us to have three coaches that played in the NFL and for them to want to share their knowledge with us is just incredible. We're really lucky. They're great guys and great coaches.
Do you think that makes a difference for you that that you have coaches that are previously from the NFL? Or?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's as good as it gets, you know, and they played for great coaches, like, you know, Coach Fireman played for Mike Shanahan and played for Bo Schembechler at Michigan. So for them, again, to just be able to pass that knowledge on to us, and, you know, that's certainly not to say that other coaches who only have high school experience, I mean, it is a lot that goes into making a great coach, but when you have experience to draw from the absolute highest level of football that is played in the world, I'd say that's a pretty good resume.
That's great. How'd you do last season?
Last year, we were 11-0 and won the Super Bowl. So, pretty good year.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to ask anyway. Who did you play against with the Super Bowl?
Sacramento.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Was that the first year you guys played in the Super Bowl? Or no?
It was. Yep. The year before, we lost in devastating fashion in the last minute of the Eastern Conference Championship to the DC Divas, and they went on to play, I think, Kansas City that
mm-hmm.
year. So that was definitely a motivating factor for us going into last year to be so close and to miss out so heartbreakingly. And I think it really fueled us throughout the year last year. And so I think we knew it. If we got there, we had to win it because we weren't about to go through that devastation again. So, yeah, first time.
What did Boston do for you, winning the Super Bowl?
Well, we got some decent media coverage, but, you know, this is a pretty saturated town in terms of sports teams and successful sports teams. So it wasn't like we had, you know, a parade on the duck boats like you've seen some of the other teams have, but, you know, our management threw us a great party. You know, we had an amazing ring ceremony, and, you know, definitely on a smaller scale than you see the men's teams, but it meant just as much to us, so the whole thing was just really classy and made us, it was just a perfect ending.
So, in other words, nothing from the mayor, huh?
Not that I'm aware of, no. Pretty busy guy, I'm sure.
It doesn't matter. It's okay. I don't know. The mayor always seems to have time if it's something.
That's true.
Yeah.
And you got to win two championships to get noticed.
No, actually, they seem to have something like if it's men, you know?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like I remember back in, and I just never forgot this. I remember back in 2002 was the first time I even got involved regarding women's football. And it was in 2002, and the New York Sharks had won the championship game. And I'm going, oh wow! I can't wait to see the ticker tape parade.
Oh yeah.
And I went, wait a minute. And actually, what got the most media coverage was this the boys that playing the little league.
Oh yeah.
A New York little league that didn't make it to the whatever championship game.
Right.
They got the coverage, but the Sharks didn't. And I went, I don't understand. What's wrong here? Something's the matter, you know. But but now that I actually being the new public relations, the new director of public relations for the WFA, we're going to be working on all kinds of things as to get the word out there to make it clear. At least that the WFA is the league to watch and you know, to be known that we're playing. Where are you playing, by the way? Like, I know in Boston, but are you, like, in downtown Boston? Or
We play in Somerville, which is just north of Boston, maybe 15 minutes right off the highway. It's the city of Somerville owns the stadium. It's at Dilboy Stadium, but I believe Tufts University uses it for some of their sports and Somerville High School. But yeah, we're just outside the city. There's not a lot of space right in the city, as you might imagine. But we like our spot. Definitely, they've been good to us.
You got the turf you like? I don't know.
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
I guess the stadium's been there like for a long, 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 long time. But it was within the past 5 years or so that they renovated it, and the crew that takes care of it they're very particular. And take great care of it. So, yeah, it's a great surface and a great spot.
Yeah, I know one of the problems I guess teams have is getting a field, getting field to practice, getting a field to play, and you know, and then shelling out the bucks for it.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah, and getting sponsors and you know, well, there's a lot to work on in terms of that. So I guess you must be looking forward to the season, huh?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The off season, you know, we played, I guess, as far as you can go last year. So we had a little bit shorter off season, but it still felt long. It was really nice to be back at it. January 4th, I think, we started. So, but it's coming up quick, April 2nd, first game. I guess we're starting a little bit earlier than we normally would. So it is fast approaching.
And who are you playing the first game?
It would have to be the DC Divas. It seems like, yeah. We play them first and last, so seems appropriate.
Wow.
Yeah, we're going down there first, so I'm hoping they have a little less snow than we do.
Wow, that's cool. That's the team. Yeah, I mean, at least even if you break. Even, you know?
Yeah.
With them, you know. But hopefully you'll, you know, like, as everybody wants to win every single game.
Of course.
Because I don't know what the, you know, having been on the other league, there was a whole different system of how the teams ranked. And it wasn't even like how many games you won or something, or you know what I mean? It was a weird kind of system, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, they had the regular standings, you know, like wins and losses. But then they had the Massey ratings, which I thought that the WFA used as well, kind of like, well, my understanding is it's like a BCS, you know, strength of schedule, home victories versus victories on the road, margin of victory, all those things factor in. Because, you know, with only 8 games, there's potential that there could be a couple teams that are 8-0 or 7-1. So there needs to be another sort of formula to figure out who should be ranked higher for the playoffs and things like that.
So you're saying the WFA is going to be having the same system?
I believe so, because I remember when I used to check our standings last year, because they do it for a bunch of different sports. And there's a tab for football and then for women's football. And then when you open that tab, there was the IWFL and the WFA. So I think that still is in effect for this league, but I could be wrong.
Now, as far as your team with getting, you know, new, and I have to, again, I'm using the word newbies, meaning they're new this year versus rookies who have played before. But in terms of, like, getting newbies, are there any particular ones that you're saying that you, I don't know if it's to watch out for or you want to, or you, like, say, oh, we got, look who we got or whatever, or I got this, either some that have played before or, you know, some of new. Is there any, do you find a lot that you're looking forward to playing with or?
Yeah, definitely.
Some in particular?
Actually, there's a pretty good mix on both offense and defense. But, you know, the thing with football, football practice, is that because it's such a physical sport and such a long season, the coaches have to kind of keep a controlled environment at practice, like particularly with, you know, how much we're hitting and tackling, because you don't want to hurt your own teammates. So we haven't, I guess, seen people going all out like we will be in a game. But it's a really solid group. I think we picked up a couple of people at skill positions on offense with, you know, a lot of speed and athleticism, and a couple of people on defense with a good mean streak, which is definitely helpful to have. But, you know, we'll see. We'll find out as soon as we start games. I mean, like I said, we open up against D.C., and then our next game is against New York. So we'll find out quickly.
So your second game is against New York, against the Sharks?
Exactly. Yep. Although I think we have a week between those games. We have a bye week, which is good because there'll be two physical games. But we'll find out quickly how we measure up.
And let me ask you a question. Do you happen to have any, like, a favorite memory as a player that you want to share?
Oh, that's easy. Last year, winning the championship. It was just, you know, I had never won a championship really at any significant level. And to be so close for a couple of years and, you know, it's been a while that our sort of same core group has been playing together. You know, women who have a couple of years on me, you know, 10 or 11 years playing. And, you know, to be so close so many times and to just, you know, that feeling of being there, it was almost like once we won that Eastern Conference Championship, it was almost a sense of calm, like we knew that we were going to do it. And everyone was just so together and, you know, we felt so prepared going into that game. And then when the time expired, you know, dunking the coaches and the Gatorade and having all our friends and family come onto the field with us. And it was just like, you know, you see it on TV all the time.
Right. It's like when you have your own moment. Yeah, it's like it's a little more real in terms of playing tackle football.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
In terms of the WFA, are they going to be playing like, you know, when they do their championship game, is it one place? Or they? I know that like with the IWFL, it used to be you went, you know, East Coast, West Coast kind of thing.
Yeah.
Is it the situation of just one particular place this season?
I think it's Vegas.
I
know it was Vegas last year, and I think that's kind of like their spot. I don't think they move it around.
Yeah, Vegas
like
was
other
last
leagues.
Year. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but I seem to remember.
Okay, no, they will move it. I'm in the chat room over here, and that's how I get my cues from Barbara Coletta to tell me things. So she just
okay.
She just another. They will move it. She's not determined yet. Okay.
Oh, really? Oh, man.
Okay. Thank goodness for her.
I'm a newbie to this league, so I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of new teams are new to this with the WFA. Wow. Well, I hope this season is is something you're looking forward to, and I hope it kind of works. For you being in a different league, you're probably playing now. You guys are basically playing the people you played last season, aren't you? I mean, being in the other league. I mean, you're still.
Well, yeah, I think it's like half and half. You know, the Sharks and the Divas. That accounts for four games right there, because we play each of them twice.
Right.
And then the other four games are new people, new teams.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool then. And they get to, you're not like making any kind of assumptions. Like,
right,
you know,
yeah.
When
it'll
you,
be,
you know, when you play like the Sharks. Sharks.
Yeah, old rivals and new rivals. That's good.
Right. Okay. Well, I appreciate that you're calling in and chatting with me. You'll maybe I'll find out what happened to Beasley there.
Maybe he's watching some film somewhere or something. I caught up, forgot to call.
Yeah. We'll see what the excuse. It's okay. It's okay. The New York Sharks coach didn't call in either.
Oh man.
Maybe they're having a conference on the game that would be.
I'm sure that's a good excuse.
Okay. Well, again, thanks again, and good luck this season.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
and
it.
And good luck to everybody.
All right. Thanks a lot. I'll also see
what I can do for you guys regarding public relations stuff.
Oh, sounds great.
Take care. Have a good evening.
You too.
Okay. Bye, Nicole. Allison.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. Oh, yes. Okay. Is it, do we have a commercial or am I just going to hearing, noise?
Thank you for calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra leg room.
Uh-huh. We have extra leg room as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay. If I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No. That is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats, and that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room.
Ah.
I understand what you mean. The words extra leg imply that, but it has nothing to do with having an extra leg.
I'm a pretty literal person.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be taking it very literally.
I guess a little too literally.
Okay. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it. You've been pretty helpful.
Thanks for calling JetBlue.
Dear traveler, stretch out. We now have the most legroom in coach. Visit us at JetBlue.com. Sincerely, JetBlue, based on average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines.
Oh, and let's hear some noise. Our next guests will be from the Philadelphia Liberty Bells, and we have Coach Mike Okmanowicz, and the general manager and all-star, Taza Stanford. Hi, you guys there?
Hi, how are you?
You must be, I'm going to guess you must be Mike.
I'm Coach Mike, yes.
Coach Mike. Did I pronounce your name correctly, Okmanowicz?
Yes, that was pretty good.
Oh, good. All right. I could tell you, because your ICZ at the end, is that? That either means, I say this
Polish.
Because.
Polish.
Oh, you're Polish, yeah. Because the reason I say this is it's interesting the difference when you have ITZ at the end or ICZ at the end. You can actually tell what the heritage, the country heritage is, you know? It's just funny. But anyway, and do I have Tazer on there too, just so I want to know?
Yes, I'm here. It's Natasia.
Oh, Tazer?
Yes.
Okay, Tazer. Okay. Well, let's start with Mike. Oh, the Philadelphia Liberty Bells. That's right. I got that. That's your first game is with the New York Sharks.
Yes, April 2nd.
April 2nd. Well, all right. Now, first, Mike, is this your first season coaching?
Oh, no. This is my third season with the Philadelphia Liberty Bells.
My second
season as the head coach.
And is this this is the third season with the Liberty Bells, and what have you coached prior to that?
What haven't I coached? I've coached another woman's team the year prior to that. I have coached young kids. I have coached high school kids. I have coached from about 24 years of coaching.
And in terms of coaching women, how about that?
Other than 4 years.
Huh?
4 years.
Four years
total. Mm-hmm.
So in other words, the year, the first year of coaching women was it another women's tackle football team?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Okay. So you've had that experience. How much of a difference, if anything, do you see with coaching male and female?
It's a big difference. The main difference is coaching the women is better. They just want to learn. Women want to learn. They're easily coached, and they're so aggressive, and they make the game so much fun. I wouldn't want to coach anything else. I love it.
Really? They make it okay. I mean, I had said that during the show that that someone had said that they found the difference is that when you tell men, when you tell them what to do, they just do it. And if you tell women what to do, they say, "Well, tell me why I'm doing it."
Why? That's the biggest difference is as long as you tell them why, they go out there and they give 110%. And I'll tell you, we have a team full of ladies that do exactly that.
That's great. Are you guys, by the way, you guys like coming from another league onto the
we started with the WFA.
Uh-huh.
When the WFA started, we started with them.
Are you still talking? I can't hear you.
Yeah, I said that we started with them 3 years ago when the WFA started.
Right.
We were one of the original teams.
Oh, okay. Somewhere I remember, I think you were with the IWFA. Are you? I don't know if this
no,
is
that,
like...
No, that was the original Liberty Bells.
This is the
second go-around. Right.
Okay.
Right. This is under the new ownership and everything like that.
Oh, okay. All right. Good. Completely different. So, So now you tell me, okay, you're now teaching. I mean, you're teaching. I mean, how many... Oh, let me... How many newbies do you have?
16
newbies, and of the... newbies, are they all like never played women's tackle football?
No, we have two. We have two that are from previous teams.
Okay, so you got two from other teams.
Yes.
That came in, which makes it easy that you know you don't have to like relearn.
Right, we have veterans of other teams. Yes.
Okay, so what is it like when you're getting for you? What is it like for you when you get when I say new players, new play people? Who have never played football before, who have never played women's, tackle, who have never played tackle football before?
I'll tell you, it's great. You know, just teaching them little things to begin with is great. And we have a team that very unselfish. Everybody, all the vets get together and they help the newbies, as you want to call them, get acclimated to the team and football. We all work together. We're a total selfless team. And I think that's what's going to make us even more successful in the years to come.
How many? I'm curious. Like, how many coaches do you have? I'm just kind of like getting a sense of, like, you know.
Right. This year, including myself, we have eight.
Eight.
We have eight coaches.
Wow. So you now, by having eight coaches, I mean, like, is that a more positive? Is that a better thing to have more coaches?
Oh, absolutely. For us, I mean, for me and myself, because I'm the head coach. I have an offensive coordinator, a defensive coordinator, where they run both sides of the ball, and I basically manage the whole consistency of the team. I allow my coaches to coach. They're incredible at what they do. I do have some things that I like, and we put in. But, no, having the coaches to do their job and all being on the same page and all communicating together only gives our players more depth of the game. To learn the game at an easier and a quicker level, because they're being coached in the smaller groups, and the things that we want to do we can process faster.
So now, with the coaches you're having this season, how many have played for last season, season before, whatever? Do you have some that yeah.
We have a great core. Matter of fact, we have two new coaches this year we brought on board. But one of the coaches actually coached with my offense and defensive coordinator in high school. So they knew him very well, and they introduced him to me. And we sat and talked, and he understood our philosophy of what we wanted. We brought him on as our receivers coach. And then we have another coach that's coming on, that's learning the game, that's going to do different odds and ends for us to be that assistant that we needed. But, no, we have a very good core group of coaches that know each other very well, get along very well, and are definitely all on the same page.
Are any of the coaches women?
Not at this point, but, well, I really can't say that because we have some players that step up all the time in positions and actually help. You know, we have a few that really know the game, and at certain times when, you know, after practices or when the sets are done, they'll go over and they'll actually help the rookies or some of the vets that are just learning the position. So we all work together. Eventually, I would love to see an all-women staff.
Yeah, it'll be, me too. I mean, it's nothing against you guys, but, you know, it's interesting to see. I mean, basketball has come that far where you
– right.
You know, where that happens.
Well, I would definitely always want to be involved, but I would definitely love to see a lot more women step up when their playing career is done and to start coaching the game and start promoting it from the women's side.
Now, let me ask you a question, because I was commenting at one point that in terms of, like, when you're teaching the women who have never played tackle football before, You're showing these diagrams, you know, and, like, how long, I mean, does it take a while to explain, like, what they mean and whatever,
just like everything else, it's time, it's reps, it's going over and over, and it's having a good core of veterans to sit down with these players and to not only us coaches coaching, but the veterans coming on board and really showing the process and taking that time. And that's why I say, again, being selfish and not worrying about the playing time and things like that and who's going to take whose job and it's just all about the team only makes things an easier process for us to learn the game.
Okay. Well, let's get to our GM and All-Star. Well, how I have here, let's see. So you made All-Star last year, and you're also a biochemist by trade, huh?
Yes, that's my day job. And yes, last year I made the All-Star team as a D tackle.
So what is you're defensive line and linebacker, right?
Yep.
Am I correct?
That's correct. I spent most of my time on the line last year between D-tackle, DN, and a little bit of time at linebacker.
But you're also the general manager of the team, right?
That's correct. I also work with the staff behind the scenes to get everything coordinated, help the team run.
So, and let me ask you guys, I always like to have been asking everybody, youngest and oldest, what do you got?
Youngest, 18.
18?
Our oldest, now our oldest is in her 50s, yeah.
Really? I'm finding it interesting. So far I got, there's three of the teams I spoke to have at least one player over 50.
Plenty of players in their 40s as well.
Yeah.
But, we have a good stretch from 18 to 50.
That's great. The only problem with the 18-year-old is then when you party afterward, you're going to the bar and you got to make sure.
Yep, we definitely have plenty of those players and celebrating 21st birthdays and things like that with the team.
Yeah. Where is your field, by the way?
Our field right now will be in Northeast Philadelphia. We played last year outside of Philadelphia in the suburbs, in the Ambler area, not too far out of Philadelphia. But this year we'll be in the city. We're looking in the Northeast area.
And is it? I'm just curious. Like, is high school football field? High school? Are you playing in
high school field.
Okay. So I was always kind of curious about that. I want to also get into when it boils down to it, that's what we get. You know what I mean? We get high school fields, and but some of them are pretty good.
We have a lot of good fields in Philadelphia. I mean, they basically call them super sites out here. It's next generation turf, redone stadiums, locker rooms, concessions. They have really nice fields out here. So
showers too, huh?
Yes, showers, everything.
Showers too. Yeah. And you get to party afterwards. Did you pick your place for partying?
yeah, we're not short of good places to party in Philadelphia either, so that's always taken care of.
Oh, okay. Did you guys pick your place already? Oh, no.
No, we haven't picked the place yet.
You haven't? All right.
Nope.
Let me know if you need any assistance.
We will.
I'm good at doing that too. anyway, to get back, so tell me about, what was your, for you, what your, best season was, or most, I don't, both challenging or just, having a good, interesting or something?
I think it would definitely be our inaugural season. I think we had good challenges and good season, good highlights on and off the field. I mean, off the field, it was our first season. We were able to put together a winning team, great staff, full roster for our first year. And on the field, I think we always use this. We had a dead last ranking when we first started with the WFA, and by the end of the season, we were a playoff contender. So I think that first season was really important to the team and the players. Just in terms of getting out there and showing people what a team out of Philadelphia can really bring, a quality team from both on and off the field. And I think year after year, I think we're winning people over in terms of if this team is sticking around and this Philadelphia team is going to continue to be competitive. So I think that was definitely a good season.
Okay. This is gonna make a little noise. Got to put you guys on my speakerphone. Hang on. Okay. Yeah, you guys, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. That wasn't too bad on the noise, right?
Not too bad.
Okay. That's good. You got, in terms of the women, the athletes that you have, you find that oh, women are, you know, like more athletic or than like in terms of like as you were growing up, like in terms of like when you were growing up, do you find that you got like the strong women, let's say from other sports that came on?
You want to take this mic, or are you talking to?
Yeah, Mike.
You know what? We have such a variety that came from so many different things, from rugby, track, hockey, soccer. It's just a variety of sports. We have so many athletes from so many different sports. They all came together, and they learned the game, and they help each other. And they're just phenomenal athletes. I mean, everybody on the roster has a role, and that's what makes us, you know, who we are.
Okay, now I'm going to ask a question. I'm asking this because I'm figuring by the time I finish doing these shows, I'll know all about football. I can watch a game. I know what goes on. But okay, so. Here's a coach question that I want to know. Come up with, like, you know, I hear something yelled out like Philadelphia 25 or something, or something kind of thing. When you come up with names of plays,
mm-hmm.
How do you do that?
You know what? We always steal plays from each other, coaches. There's always play. We didn't invent the wheel. Our terminologies are different. How we express our things, how we get our plays onto the field, et cetera, are a little different. But basically, football is football. You know, you have so many different aspects of terminology, but basically, there's plays. And you run the plays. You know, somebody, like you said, Philadelphia 25 could be somebody else's New York 25 or whatever. It's just, you know, it's just terminology changes. We didn't reinvent the wheel. It's like everybody in the NFL were saying this. They got all hooked onto this wildcat. Oh, isn't it great? It's the single wing from back in the day. That's all it is. You know, so it's just we didn't invent the wheel. We're just trying to make it better.
Okay. So now, and in terms of, so let's go to, in terms of being a player, how is it like trying to remember all these plays? Like, you know, when it's yelled out, and it's not the, I don't mean the ones that are in the huddle, but, you know, like you hear a coach screaming out something.
I mean, we try to make it as easy on our players as possible. I mean, the terminology and some of the, like I play mostly defense, so some of our calls on defense, we try to make the name of the calls like a hint toward what, you know, you're actually doing. And for the most part, I mean, the women are just athletes, you know, they played various sports and have to, you know, learn playbooks from other sports. So, you know, they're smart women, they're athletic women, and, you know, it's part of the fun of football is having to make adjustments on the field and study your playbooks.
So, in other words, is part of playing tackle football is also being able to not just understand what a play is, but remember when it's called out as to what it is.
Yeah, definitely.
Have you ever come across like somebody who says, I forgot what that was?
All the time. All the time. And, I mean, that's why, I mean, if you're out there giving 110% and hopefully you're at least making your mistake 100 miles per hour, you know, we can't blame you for trying to make a play even though you're confused. But, I mean, that's what makes the difference between your starters and your second string and your third string is, you know, people make mistakes, but if people know that you're studying hard, you come out there, you know what you're doing, you know all your plays, you can help other players on the field with their plays if they don't know what they're doing, then, you know, that makes the difference between each player.
Okay, that's cool. 'Cause, you know, I hear it, and I just keep thinking, I don't know what that means. I hope everybody else does. But I guess the, but then again, you got the thing you wear on your arm, your wrist, right?
Yep. Offense usually has quite a few wristers out on the field to help out.
Well, that's a good thing, I guess, right?
Yep.
So now, when you played All Star, did you play the same position you're playing now?
Yes, I did actually. For the most part, I mean, at the All Star game, the first game we had with the WFA was last year. The first year, I made All Star as well, but we didn't actually have a game. I mean, everyone comes there pretty flexible. I mean, you make the All-Star team based on one position, but, you know, in most teams, players play both sides or they play multiple positions. So we just came, I think everyone came out there prepared to just help out the most they can on our team.
So you didn't actually play a game after
the first year we did it. The first year we had an All-Star team, but we didn't actually have an All-Star game.
Oh, okay. Because I've... One of the things that I've been curious about, I know, like the international football, women's tackle football tournament was going on. I mean, these players came back, and now they have to, and it wasn't the end of the season. So now you're going to have players who are on like the same team vying against each other. So that's why I was kind of wondering when you're dealing with something like an All-Star game, you're going to be on this team, and then go back home and then, you know, and then play against them. Or I don't know when they set it up with the like the All-Star game is like after the season ends, which
it's championship weekend.
Yep, championship weekend. The season ends. And, yeah, I mean, you're playing with people that you played against all season. So, I mean, it's fun to go out there and see players from, you know, teams that you had a good competitive game with or that you enjoyed playing, and now you can be on the same team and work towards winning together. I mean, it's just a fun environment in general.
So, what are you looking for? Anything particularly looking forward to this season? Any particular teams that you're like, oh, wow, we're going to play this team? I've always wanted to play that team, or, you know, stuff like that? I'll let the coach answer that one.
I'll take it. Every team. Every team on our schedule we're looking forward to. Of course, we're looking forward to the new teams that came in the league, the Sharks, the Divas, the Militia. Looking forward to playing them. But, of course, we're still looking forward to playing in the New England Nightmare. They're an up-and-coming team. Keystone Assault, they're going to be very competitive. We're just looking forward to playing everybody. In order to be the best, you got to play the best, and that's why we're glad we're trying to unify this. And we're looking forward to our April 2nd opening day matchup and to all the teams we play. Well, we're going to prepare every week, and we're looking for good matchups.
How often do you practice?
We practice. do I really want to say this, Tate?
Yeah.
What we like to do is we have our set Monday and Thursday nights, and we like to do Sunday and Tuesday as, I won't call it optional, but Sunday and Tuesday as secondary practice. So we like to meet before the season four nights a week.
And now, and also, let me just ask you one last question. Mike, I mean, do you find, like, when you're dealing with practices, have you found, like, a lot of cooperation or you have to, like, you know, say, listen, you don't get to practice, you're penalized?
You know what, everybody has lives. That's why we make our two certain nights practices for offense and defense, and then we have two secondary practices for some of the people who can't get there because they do have jobs and they do have families. So we try to accommodate as much as possible. But we get very good turnouts, and when everybody's at practice, we practice how we play. We go up-tempo. We do what we're going to do, And but no, we try to accommodate. Tasia and I try to accommodate with the extra practices, and we set our practices for Monday and Thursday, your offense and defense and specials, and Sunday and Tuesday before the season, and Tuesday during the season. That's that extra night for somebody who needs that work, that couldn't make the practice, with some one-on-one time or one-on-one a few time, and just to keep us going and keep everybody up to speed.
Okay, great. Well, I appreciate you guys calling in. And, you know, had good luck, like to everybody else this season. And I guess it will be interesting to get to play the Sharks for your first game, huh? Okay. Well, maybe I'll get out there. I'll see.
Well, we'd like to meet you. And thank you for having us on. And have a good talk with everybody else.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. Have a good night.
Okay. Have a good evening.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Well, it's time for let's go to a commercial first, and then we'll go on to the Lone Star Mustang.
Listen up. I'm Coach Vince Lombardi. The three most important things in my life are God, family, and the Green Bay Packers. You should meet my better half, Marie. She's no pushover. How else could she stay married to me for the last 20 years? The press is hard on me, but they sing a different song when we win on Sundays. They all know winning isn't everything. It's the only thing.
Lombardi on Broadway, starring Dan Loria and Judith Light. Presented with the NFL. Tickets at telecharge.com.
Okay. Let's have a little noise while I take a break. Lone Star Mustangs, and we're going to have on now Coach Mike Ellington, as opposed to Duke Ellington, and Captain Cameron Kelly.
That's me.
How you guys doing?
Doing great.
Doing great. Doing great.
What's the weather down there right now?
Oh, what, today was about 65, 70 degrees, T?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah,
a little windy, but it's nice.
I was in Texas a couple of months ago, in Waco and McAllen.
Yep.
So, okay, Mike, now, let me just ask about in terms of the team, since I'm not too familiar. You guys, is this the first? This is not the first season you're with the WFA, is it?
No, it's not. We started with the WFA just like the as the Philadelphia Liberty Bells were talking to you a minute ago. We started just like they did when the WFA started up, and we're going into our third season of playing, and we won the national championship last year.
Oh,
in the WFA.
Oh, okay. Who did you play against?
The Columbus Comets.
Oh, okay. Mike, is this the first time? Being with the WFA, is this the first time you'll be coaching women's tackle football?
No, I've been coaching the team since its inception. My wife is actually the owner of the team, so I had an easy way to get into the job there. But my expectations are held high, I'll tell you that.
prior to this, who were you coaching?
I coached a bunch of youth football and played a lot of years of football myself.
Oh, okay. So this is when you started with the. So now you own the team and you're coaching the team. Is that what you're saying?
I like to say that my wife owns the team, and I am the coach.
I understand that you guys own more than one team.
That is true. Yes.
Just kidding. What were the other two teams?
The other two teams are the Tulsa Eagles and the Little Rock Wildcats.
Okay. You're really getting into it, huh?
Yeah, to say the least.
I assume you're only coaching one, correct?
Yes, I only coach one team. The Lone Star Mustangs.
Okay. What's it like for you? First let me ask, like, in terms of newbie players, how many do you have that signed up?
We have 23 new players right now, coming off a championship season here. We got 23 new. We have 22 veterans, 9 of which were All-Americans last year.
Oh, cool. Do you think that because you won, do you think that made a difference in women coming out to want to play?
To a certain extent, yeah. I think. They win the championship, and some of them feel like they want to retire and move on down. They've done the best thing they can do in women's football, and they have other things in their life. There's also a lot of people that when you're dealing with women's football, they have school and life, work, all those types of things that they have to leave for, and we definitely appreciate. There's a bunch of players that have moved on like that with us, and. We sure appreciate the time they were able to spend here, that's for sure.
When you're getting the new players, like, what's your feeling about, like, the new players that you have, they're all women who have never played football, or have you got some that actually have, played football?
There's actually, when I say that we have that many new players, there's also six of those are returning players to us that played with us or at least practiced with us the very first season that we started up. And, you know, had to take a year off last year, and we've got six of those returning back to us.
Okay.
And, you know, and then the rest of them have played an awful lot of other sports, you know, flag football and those types of things, but they are brand new to the sport of football, full contact.
So I guess how did you find a lot of difference, like, in terms of when you're coaching of women who, let's say, have played some type of football, whether it's flag or they played with their brothers or stuff like that, and those who have just never played any football before?
Yeah, you have to break them of the bad habits. It's almost better to coach somebody that's never played football before at all than it is to try to coach somebody that's played a lot of flag football, because it, you know, there's a lot of differences in the way that you conduct yourself on the field, basically.
Well, actually, I thought the opposite would be a problem. I think I had remembered when they had the first international flag football tournament, and the Sharks went up there. It was like they had to learn not to tackle.
Yeah, you know? when you take tackle football players and put them on the flag field, I can imagine that'd be a little interesting.
Yeah.
I will say, though, that we have had some great players that have come from the flag football area, and it's just that there's some positions that are really easier to teach, you know, and as long as they're willing to give up those habits that they might get in flag football, it definitely helps a lot.
Yeah. Well, I guess they're also like, I don't know if you're sure, but they must be pretty, if they've been playing flag, then I guess they're good runners, aren't they? Because I think that's, when it comes to flag, that's really a lot of what it depends on is how much you can, how fast you can run.
Yes.
Do I have it right?
Typically, yes.
Oh, okay. And by the way, where are you located? I mean, I know Texas. What city?
Right, we're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We play our home games at Pennington Field in Bedford, Texas, which is right in the middle of Fort Worth and Dallas.
Yeah, I'm curious, is because I know there's at least one other, isn't there one at least one other Dallas team?
Yes, there is.
And what I'm kind of curious about is, were you able to both get the same field for home?
Yes, we will.
Oh, that's really great. You leave notes for each other, you know. that's nice to know that each team didn't have to go searching out a different field or whatever.
You'd be quite amazed, though, that, you know, here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, there's probably, I would guess, maybe 100 different football fields, but there's only two in the Metroplex that will actually allow semi-pro or pro or anything above high school football to be played on their fields.
Are you playing the Dallas team? I don't know. Is it Dallas Diamonds?
Yeah, we are playing against them April 30th.
Okay.
First time.
And so my question is, which one gets to be the home team?
Actually, on that April 30th date, we are the home team.
Okay. I just kind of wondered. But anyway, so let's get back to this. Why did you love this so much that you got two other teams? Are the other two teams, are they new?
Yes, they are brand new.
Oh, okay. So you decided let's add some more and go into different cities too. That must be something else, right?
Yeah, and it was really to fill in some geographic weaknesses that there were before. You know, and really when you look at where they're located, it really helps out with everybody around them. You know, to reduce the travel. That's kind of the key in women's football, is being able to handle the travel.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's also now it's all about trying to get the word out, too.
Exactly.
About, you know,
exactly. Go to new places where it hasn't been before.
Yeah. Well, that can get done. That's what I'm here for. So, all right, let's get to our player, Tamara Kelly.
Yes.
Okay.
You can call me. You can call me T.
I can call you what?
T.
T?
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. Everybody, that's the one thing I can't, like, for the life of me, when the people go by, like, the letters, you know, or two letters, I'm going, I don't know who the heck they are, but that's okay. Like, the players know each other by nickname.
Yes, we do.
All right, so now, here's a great question I'd like to ask of you then. The captain, how do you get to be the captain?
Well, that was chosen by Coach Mike.
Okay, and what does that entail for you?
I think we have several captains on the team that, you know, in the beginning of the game come out and we're captains of each game. And I think it takes a leadership role, and you're able to take on that role and be a leader and be a spokesperson for that team.
Now, when you, I'm not clear. Isn't it like, is there like one captain, or is it like four captains or something?
Coach Mike, how many do we have total on every game?
We typically have either four or five captains, and they vary by position sometimes. But Tamara's been a captain for the last 2 years, at one point or another, and it's basically, the way it's chosen is, you know, who the natural leaders on the field are.
So it doesn't mean, in other words, like when you're dealing with the captains, do the captains, let's say, one captain deals with defense or something like that, or just no?
You have to have captains on the field, because anytime there's something that goes on with the referees, if there's any kind of decision to be made or anything like that, if a captain's on the field, they're the one that talks to the referee in that decision. And also, one of the captains always makes the call of the coin flip when that's needing to be done.
Okay. I didn't know that. I don't know. I always just hear somebody screaming when the referee does something wrong. I'm not sure who does it. Now it's not. That's one more thing I learned.
That's my job.
That it's one of the captains that says something. Tamara, what position do you play on the team?
I play center.
Center? Oh, I know that one.
All right.
I understand that one. That's the one who throws the ball to, who gives the ball to the quarterback.
That's correct.
Yeah. So wait a minute, just to make sure. Oh, okay, who hikes the ball?
Exactly.
Barbara Coletta just said in the chat room the word is hikes. Okay. that you hike the ball. So in other words, you're standing on the line and you're the one that's holding the ball, then, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so you're holding the ball, and the quarterback at some point yelled something.
Yes.
And that's when you hike the ball. Does the quarterback actually say hike? Or does
it kind of varies between teams, I think, but in our instance, the quarterback usually says hit.
Okay, so you know, it's not, it's not like when you're coaching, when you scream out, Tuscaloosa 25 or something like that. You know, is it like you can't move until
I snap the ball?
Yeah, so once you hike the ball, everybody can move, is that what it is?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, as opposed to, all right, I just said, hey, that's one more thing that I learned.
I've got a great document for you that you'll need to take a look at. It's called Football 101.
Oh, please. I'm still trying.
I'll send it your way.
I can't tell you. I've been doing PR for 8 years. This is going to be the 9th season, and I still don't know. I mean, like, there are certain things of the players that I know, and for the life of me, if you told me you're a cornerback, I would say I have no idea what that means, where's your position, whether you play offense, defense, or anything. But that's my goal for this season, to learn what it's all about. What was it like for you, like in terms of winning the championship?
It was awesome.
When you celebrated? This is the thing I always want to understand. When you were celebrating it, what did either the city or anybody do for you guys, or did they, or did they not even know, or what was the how did it all come out that way?
Coach Mike, you want that one? You want me to take that one?
Yeah, I'll take it. That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You know, women's football, you know, we go out, we play for the national championship, and, you know, we've got a long ways to go in women's football about getting the word out about, you know, what's going on. You know, mainly the people that know about it are the ones that are directly, you know, involved with the people that played on the team or coached or, you know, the fans of the team that, you know, back home. But, you know, outside of that, you don't get a whole lot of attention. And that's something you're supposed to be chasing for us, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, I know all the great ways. I'm going to – well, see, this is – what this is all – I mean, I'm doing this. What it's really kind of going to depend on is getting cooperation from each team. Each team has to be able to communicate with me, and I have no problem sharing. They're not secrets. You know, they're just things that I've learned to do, but I can't do them, you know, for all. For instance, in terms of, let's say, it's like in terms of, like, let's say tourism, the tourism office, do they have it listed? When you go to the tourism site for Dallas-Fort Worth and it says, like, you know, under sports, does it even have women's tackle football? Does it have your team?
That's a great question. I'd have to look and see, but I do not know. That is a great question, though.
Well, I'm going to say most likely it doesn't. That's one of the problems. What's one of the things I'm hoping to achieve with the assistance from everybody is letting that the tourism needs to list it. As is happening, and you know, it's not the, you know, they'll list everything else. They'll list if it's a minor league, everything. And it's also a matter of also like people, the team listing the events in different places. But that's something, you know, I'll put it all out there as far as that. So let's get back to the playing and the coaching. So T.
Yes.
Now you're kind of out there and you're meeting the new players and stuff. It's not like most of the shows of the half hours that I'm doing, I've had quarterbacks where they're really have to interact kind of, I guess, with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still the camaraderie and being a captain that you're interacting. It's like curiosity as to, and I'm sure it happens, like, you know, there are people you may not want to be friends with. But because, like, does it happen, like, there's a camaraderie once the team is actually playing and then you see, like, you know, off the field, maybe there's, I don't know, they say no come around and say someone's going to beat somebody up, which that does happen. Just like clicks or whatever.
Well, that does happen. I mean, once we're on the football field, we're on the football field, and it's all about football. And with us, I think we have gone through a lot together, and our core group, I think, works very well together on and off the field. We do fundraisers, and we do other events together, and I think we work real well together on and off the field.
So give me an idea. When you do like a fundraiser, what kind of thing do you do for a fundraiser?
It just depends. We have worked the Cowboy Stadium to raise some money, that kind of thing. We work concessions there. Just anything and everything we can find to raise some money. We have sponsorships sometimes, those kinds of things as well.
And do the fundraisers, do you find that the fundraisers work for you? That you get in like thousands of dollars, but
it just depends. Some are better than others, but I mean, it's, you know, anything and everything we can do to continue playing.
Do you find, what about in terms of like getting the players to participate in fundraisers? They play football, they have their own life, their jobs and whatever.
Exactly. Sometimes it's difficult. All of us have another life, you know, as far as work and family, husbands, wives, kids, all that kind of stuff. And so it takes some work. And, you know, one player might be only to do one thing here, one thing there, and one player might get to do everything. So it just, you know, we work together and we figure it out.
Then, but basically you do get cooperation from the players?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's good, because I think part of the thing in terms of fundraising is fundraising also kind of allows the word to get out there.
Exactly.
Especially when, like, you go around, you go and you list your event, list it in places where, you know, for events and as a fundraiser. Do you, I just want to kind of just throw out there as I'm thinking about it. Mike, do you have a magazine called Where, WHERE?
I'm not familiar with what that is, no.
This is a particular magazine. It's a very, like, a tourist magazine. They go, it's like they'll go into a hotel and they'll find... this particular magazine, list events, things like that. The reason I'm asking, I've been in touch with the big kahuna or whatever, and so I want to see if we can get it out there. But again, it's like each team needs to take care of like the listing.
I know who to talk to. I'll get there.
Oh, okay. I just kind of want to put it out there for everybody, anybody listening, that if they want to get in touch with me, my email is Merle, merle.exit@gmail.com. I understand, by the way, you have a magazine, right?
Yes. My wife has a Football for Women magazine.
Football for Women, so it's football with the number 4, women.com, correct?
That's right.
Okay, and that hopefully will get a lot of people, a lot of the teams, like, writing in what's going on, and it'll be something that will be helpful, not just going on to the website of the WFA, but, reading the magazine as well. So,
that's true.
In case you're wondering, well, I don't know, my last name is Exit, because I changed my name to Exit so I can see my name up in lights. So, anyway, well, I'm going to let you guys go. I appreciate that you're calling in, And Mike, at some point, I'm gonna get we'll get to talk with the other two teams, which will be interesting, being you know their first season, and how that looks with them. Okay.
Yep. And I just wanted to throw in there real quick, and we appreciate you having us on here tonight. And for anybody listening that doesn't know where to find us, we're at www.lonestarmustangs.com.
Okay, and worst case scenario, if everybody doesn't remember, just go to the site of the WFA, right?
That's right.
Okay. Well, thanks again, and it's not as late. Well, you know, it's almost 11 o'clock here. Are you almost 10 o'clock there, or?
Yes.
Yeah, 10 o'clock.
Oh, you're only 1 hour difference. Okay. It just seems so far away, that's all. Yeah. Okay. T, Mike, have a great evening.
You too.
Thank you, too.
And talk to you again.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay. Well, this is it. This is the end of my first three-hour show. And I'm... All right, my mouth is a little dry. But it's time to end the show. And, well, everybody, we're looking forward to all this football, and especially with the WFA. So for all of you, have a great, I don't know, whatever it is, if you're listening now, it's probably the evening. And if not, if you're going to, you know, punch this up to listen to, then have a great day or night or whatever it is at your place. See ya next Sunday.